The title of our message tonight is Moses' Last Address. Chapter 8 concludes the third address of Moses to the children of Israel. And in chapter 29 and 30, we have Moses' fourth address to them before they enter into the promised land. Basically, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, would be blessed if they obeyed the Lord and cursed if they disobeyed the Lord. That's sort of the gist of this. And what we have here is Israel's history written in advance. A lot of this is prophecy. Before they ever set foot in the land, God tells them what's going to happen to them, what they're going to do while they're in the land. They're on the plains of Moab. The children of Israel are accepting and committing themselves a second time to the things God is asking of them. And then they will do it again a third time once they enter into the land under Joshua. So Moses calls for the people to fully commit themselves to the Lord. But in verse 1 of chapter 28, it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations on the earth. God wanted to exalt and lift the nation of Israel above every other nation, and he had a purpose for that. He wanted them to be an example of the other nations as to what it is like to know the Lord and to have the Lord as your God. All they had to do if they wanted to stay in that blessed place was to obey the Lord. It seems simple. Isaiah 49, the prophet said in verse 6, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. They were, if they would have walked with the Lord, been a wonderful example of God's salvation to the entire world. But of course, they haven't done that. You know, God wants to do the same thing with us, to use us as an example to those who don't know the Lord. So that when they look at us, they will ask us, what's different about you? What is it about your life? And all we have to do is obey the Lord. But their stay and their blessing while in the land was conditional upon their obedience. In verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, meaning your children, the produce of your ground and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Wherever you go, God's going to be with you and protect you and bless you. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. In other words, God's going to send them with their tail between their legs, send them away. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. He's going to bless the fruit of your hands, your labors. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. They set apart to him, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Aren't you glad that Jesus told us, if you love me, or since you love me, keep my commandments? Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, that God is your God and protector, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body. You'll have plenty of children, in the increase of your livestock and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, both the former and the latter rains, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Does anybody here want to be the tail? No, they're going to be great amongst the nations. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And so these material blessings that are mentioned here were God's way of reminding the children of Israel that obedience brings blessing, but that disobedience brings the Lord's chastening. Their obedience would also be a witness to the nations around them that God is a God of blessing. Now in verses 15 through 68, what we have here are warnings. What will happen if they disobey the Lord? And when calamity comes, it's a wake-up call. When calamity strikes the nation, it should have woken them up as to what was going on. But it shall come to pass, verse 15, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So you can have it, you know, in obedience, you can have God's blessing overtake you, but in disobedience, his curses overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. It's just the opposite of the blessing. Cursed shall be your basket and kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be you when you come in, and cursed you shall be when you go out. The exact opposite of verses 6 or 3 through 6. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague to cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And you know, the nation of Israel has experienced all of those things in their history because of their disobedience. They are a testimony to the faithfulness of God and his word, God to his word. And your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze. No rain. And the earth which is under you shall be as iron. The ground is going to become hard as iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. They would experience dust storms. If you look in Israel's history, that's what they've had. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Just the opposite of verse 7. And this happened to them during the Babylonian captivity and during the diaspora, the dispersion of 70 AD. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall only be oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. That is also a picture of the sinner. It's going to happen to them. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You will plant a vineyard, but shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you and shall not be destroyed or restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people as slaves. And your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long, and there shall be no strength in your hand. Just to prove the point, when the southern kingdom of Judah was going down, the northern kingdom had already gone down under the Babylon or the Assyrian invasion, and the southern kingdom was about to go down under the Babylonian invasion, Nebuchadnezzar came and took the king of Israel at the time, a man named Zedekiah, and put his eyes out. Just like it says here, you're going to be blinded. All of these things happened to them in the Babylonian invasion and the subsequent captivity. A nation, verse 33, you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. When you read the book of Judges, every time they fell away from the Lord, their enemies came, took their crops and oppressed them. And God raised up judges when they called out to the Lord. And for a while they were okay, but when the judge died, they went back to their old ways. It's really a picture of the depravity of man. Israel's a picture of the of man's wickedness and sin apart from God. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed. And from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, the Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wooden and stone. That too was fulfilled in the Babylonian captivity when they took King Jehoiakim away. And they served the gods of Babylon then. A god or a kingdom which was not even around at the time. You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations where the Lord will lead you. And the Jews have been a byword and have been mistreated in every land that they've been scattered to. In fact, you've heard the term wandering Jew. There's a plant named after that. Everywhere they go, nobody wants them. God said that's the way it's going to be when you're disobedient to me. During the medieval times, when the bubonic plague broke out, they blamed it upon the Jews in Europe. You got nobody else to blame it on. You blame it on the Jews. That's been the history of the Jews. You shall carry much seed out to the field and gather but little in it, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all of your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for the olive trees shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. They'll be taken away as slaves. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And here's the reason, beginning in verse 45, for these curses. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever, because you didn't serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You forgot the Lord who blessed you. You know, and that can happen to us. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness, in need of all things. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. That's exactly what Rome was. Rome was known as, in the book of Daniel, as that beast that had iron teeth. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth. As swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you'll not understand, a nation of fierce countenance. That was prophesied in the book of Daniel about the Roman Empire. They were part of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, you remember, in chapter 2. The iron legs, the legs of feet and the 10 toes. And also the fourth beast in Daniel's dream in chapter 7, which does not respect the elderly, no sure favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. For they shall not leave you grain, nor new wine, nor oil, nor the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you at all of your gates until your high fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. You shall eat the fruit of your own body. It got so bad during the invasions that they began to eat their children. Serious. You shall eat the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. You can read about how the Romans chased them all the way to Masada in 73 AD and how they committed suicide rather than be taken by the Romans to become slaves. The man among you who is sensitive and very refined will be hostile towards his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the rest of the children whom he leaves behind, so that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children to whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. The tender and the delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of the delicateness and sensitivity will refuse to the husband of her bosom and to her son and her daughter her placenta, which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of all things in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all of your gates. You can read in Israel's history about a time in which things were so bad during the Assyrian invasion that they were selling pigeon dung on the streets of the capital city and mule heads. That's all they had. All of these things predicted to them happened in their history, and in particular in Roman invasion of Jerusalem and the consequent captivity of the people of Israel into all the world, known as the dispersion. Historians tell us that Rome came bearing emblems of eagles on their flags as they conquered their enemies, exactly as it says here in Deuteronomy 28. And they burned the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. You can see the city of Jerusalem on fire from some of the different countries around. It was so fierce. It was called by the historians at the time one of the biggest catastrophes in the world up till then. And now the Jews are scattered all over the world since 70 AD, and they're now just being gathered back to the land one final time. Look at verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and you shall be plucked from the land which you go to possess, from the land of Israel. Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. That's where they are today. You know, there's more Jews in New York City than there are in the land of Israel today. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning, because of the fear of which terrifies your heart and because of the sight which your eyes see. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships. by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. But listen to the laundry list here of the curses for their disobedience. Their children were cursed. They would have a low birth rate. Their crops were ruined. Their animals would be killed. They would have confusion of mind, madness and sickness, drought and hunger and thirst. They would be defeated in war. Their wives would be raped. They'd be oppressed and sold into slavery. There would be cannibalism. They would eat each other. They'd go into captivity. Their bodies wouldn't be buried. Their plans would be shattered. They would experience poverty, debt, nakedness. They'd be robbed. Their children kidnapped. Aliens would take them to their land, and worldwide shame and scorn. And every single one of those things that the Lord promised would happen before they ever entered the land happened to them. They've been persecuted throughout their history. They've had no rest in the nations that they've gone to flee from persecution because of their disobedience. And we have to say, what a huge lesson for us. You think God would do this to his own chosen people and then just let us off the hook? Israel has been besieged in their history by the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Turks, the Islamics, the Europeans, you name it. They've been removed from their land almost entirely 3 times, and God has brought them back twice and is in the process of bringing them back a third and final time. That began on May 14th, 1948. The prophets wrote about it. There was warning and warning. God sent prophets over and over again. And the common cry in their history at all of their calamity has been, where's God? Rather than look at their own disobedience, you see. You know, there's a judgment coming for the church. Peter said, 1 Peter 4:7, the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and it begins with us first. God's cleaning house right now. What'll be the end of those that don't obey the gospel? If God's going to straighten us out and put the pressure on us and turn up the heat to prepare us for heaven, what's he going to do with the unbelieving world around? Well, it's known as the coming tribulation. We're going out of here, and they're going to be left behind. But do I need to remind you of the condition of the church when the Lord returns? In Revelation chapter 3, a church that says they're rich and have need of nothing, and he says you're poor and naked and blind and wretched. You don't even know it. And he says, I would have rather had you hot or cold. He said, you're lukewarm. And he says, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. And then in chapter or 3, verse 20, the Lord's outside of the church knocking. If anyone will come out or open the door and come to me, I'll have fellowship with him. You can't even find him in the church by the time the things in the book of Revelation take place. And we're getting near that place. Seriously, it's happening. But again, this is a lot of repetition to the people. These are all things that we've read about before, even in the first 5 books of Moses here. But remember, the people didn't have Bibles. They had to use their noggins to retain everything they heard in their memories. You know, they didn't have 16 Bibles at home and an iPad with a Bible on it. Now, this starts the fourth address of Moses in chapters 29 and 30. Verse 1 of 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So you have at Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, where they had the covenant of the law, the Mosaic covenant it's called. And now in verses 2 through 8, Moses reviews their past. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before you in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all of his servants and to all the land." Now those that he was talking to, remember, they were teenagers at that point, but now they're older. They're in their 50s. They wandered in a wilderness for 50 years. The older generation all died. And only Moses, Caleb, and Joshua remained from that older generation. That's it. The great trials which you have seen, which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. They saw the miracles of God, but they were spiritually blind. Until God opens our eyes and opens our ears and hearts, we're in the same condition. We were talking last night with the men. You know, we all remember the day that all of a sudden it made sense. The day before, we didn't get it. And all of a sudden, there was a day. It was the Lord opened our eyes. And now we saw what we couldn't see the day before. It was the Lord's doing. And I've led you, verse 5, these 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunken wine or similar drinks, so that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon king of Heshbon and Og king of Bashan came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Those are the tribes that settled on the east side of the Jordan River. So remember all the wonderful things that God did for you in the wilderness. Remember all the things that you saw in the wilderness. But what they saw didn't exactly bring about faith. You know, the world's constantly saying to the Lord, "If you just show me, I'll believe." God says, "Believe me and I'll show you." And now verses 9 through 15 is a call to obedience. "Therefore, keep the words of this covenant," the Mosaic covenant, "and do them so that you may prosper in all that you do." Again, the secret to blessing is obedience. It's the same for us. Jude put it this way, Jude 1:21, "Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Keep yourself in that place where God can bless you, where he can demonstrate his love for you. You know, when we're disobedient, God doesn't stop loving us, but he won't demonstrate his love towards us because we'll think everything's all right and we'll keep going on in that direction. So God starts to pull the string on us to get our attention. Verse 10, "All of you stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel." And so Moses begins here with the leaders. And if the leaders don't set example, then there's not much hope for anybody else. "Your little ones and your wives, and also the strangers who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one that draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, so that he may establish you today as a people for himself, and that he may be God to you, just as he has spoken to you, and just as he has sworn to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So they're about now, they've agreed to the Mosaic covenant. They're going to do everything they said that God requires of them. But now they're about to enter into another covenant known as the Palestinian covenant, having to do with the land that they were about to go into, which is an unconditional covenant. God is going to give them the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, but their tenure in the land is conditional upon their obedience. And as we already mentioned, they're going to be removed from the land three times because of that disobedience. Now, verses 16 through 29 is a warning of judgment. "For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by. And you saw their abominations and their idols, which were among them, wood and stone and silver and gold." You saw the grossness and the immorality and the idolatry in Egypt. What they did, and it's a warning, don't do that. "So that there may not be among you any man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns today away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. And that there may be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood." And so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I walk in the imagination of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. You know, don't cop this attitude, he's telling him, that it won't happen to you. You know, in our sinful nature and our humanity, we think that we are the exception to the rule, don't we? That you know, we can get away with, you know, things that other people can't. It's not true. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book would settle on him, and the Lord would blot his name out from under heaven. And they would suffer then all the plagues that are in chapter 28. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law, so that the coming generation of your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, would say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord has laid on it, the whole land is brimstone, salt and burning. It's not sown, it doesn't bear, nor does any grass grow there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his great wrath. All nations would say, why has the Lord done so to this land? What does the heat of this great anger mean? And then men would say, because they've forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he has made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. You know, many have asked the question when they saw the barrenness of the land of Israel before they became a nation in 1948. Mark Twain wrote about the land. He went over there. He was astonished at how barren it was. Now, some parts are still barren. For they went and they served other gods and worshiped them, gods that they did not know, that he had not given to them. The anger of the Lord was aroused against this land to bring it on it every curse that is written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger, in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There are some things that the Lord does not want us to know, and we shouldn't be concerned with them. And there are certain things the Lord wants us to know, and those are the things we need to obey. But in our, again, in our sinful nature, our humanity, and in our rebellion, we want to know all the stuff God doesn't want us to know, and we don't care much about just obeying what we do know. It's a smokescreen. We like to occupy ourselves with the things God hasn't shown us, when we have plenty to do with what he's shown us already. Now chapter 30, verse 1, now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you. Notice that. God knew it was going to happen to them. The blessing and the curse which I've set before you, and you call them to mind, you remember them. So you're in the place where you think back to, man, we were blessed when we were obedient. Boy, did things go wrong when we began to disobey the Lord. And you return, when you're among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that the Lord your God will return and bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. This is a prophecy concerning the return of Jesus Christ before his first coming, the second coming of Christ. All the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Lord your God will return and bring you back from captivity. Isn't that amazing? Enoch, you remember him? The one who walked with the Lord and he was taken, he was pre-flood, before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he prophesied about the Lord returning with thousands of his saints to the earth. Amazing prophecies. And of course, the Jews are coming home by scores today from all over. They're being persecuted everywhere they are, and they're coming back to the land. God's preparing the land for his return. If any of you, verse 4, are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Jesus spoke about this in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24:31. He said he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And those that believe the church is going through the tribulation like to say that this is the church. No, it's not. It's an Old Testament prophecy concerning the scattered people of Israel, God bringing them back when he returns. Then, verse 5, this is after he's brought them back. This is now at the end of the tribulation, at the beginning of the millennium. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, so that you may live. God's going to do it. And no longer will their relationship to God be based on, if you do this, then you're going to receive this. No longer a legal relationship, but a loving relationship based on what, not what they've done or not done, but what the Messiah has done for them. Just like we have. God's going to do a work in their hearts. Jeremiah 29:12 and 13 says, then when you call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Look at verse 7. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and those that hate you, who persecute you. In Matthew 25, Jesus spoke about this as well, that when the Messiah returns, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are his people, and the goats are the unbelieving nations that have persecuted his people. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord your God to do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all of the work of your hand and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock, the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments, his statutes, which are written in the book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. That's the same way we're saved. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. God knows when it's just up here, and he knows when it's from here as well. And when it's from here, it'll change your entire life. In fact, listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 6. It says, but the righteousness of faith, as opposed to that which comes, you know, supposedly through the keeping of the law, he says, this is what it says. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. You know, God isn't requiring some wonderful thing for us to do in order to be saved. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. He hasn't required that of us either. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. You want to know how close salvation is? It's right here and right here. That's how close it is. That is the word of faith which we preach, so that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, to a right standing with God, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Why is that true? Well, the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Look at verse 15. So yeah, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Boy, why would you want to choose death and evil over life and good? You know, God's given us a free will. We've been created in the image of God, who has a will. He's sovereign to do whatever he wants to do, and we have a limited will to act I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. You can take the blessings, you can take the curses. In that, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. That's what God wants for us. That's what he wanted for them. But if your heart turns away so that you don't hear, you see where it begins? It's the heart. And are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in land which you cross over the Jordan to go in to possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you, both you and your descendants, may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. If you don't obey the Lord, the Lord's going to remove you from the land, and that's exactly what happened. But it was their choice. God gave them the freedom to make their choice, and they made it. God's given us freedom to make a choice. But then he says, would you choose life, please? And it's the same issue for us today. John 3:36, it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he that does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It's the wrath of God is hanging over the head of everyone until we believe. But their stay in the land was what God had promised them, the land eternally, it's theirs. But their stay and ability to enjoy the land and the blessing of it, it was determined by their obedience. But God promised there would be a day when he would bring them back. And after removing them from the land three times and bringing them back, God finally says, you know what? You can't do this on your own. I'm going to have to do it for you. And unfortunately, they're going to have to go through what we know as the Great Tribulation. And we read in Zechariah 12:10 that when the Messiah returns, when Jesus Christ comes back again, they'll look on him whom they pierced. Evidently, he comes back and he still has the wounds that he suffered on the cross. They'll look on him whom they pierced and they'll mourn for one who mourns for the loss of an only son. They're going to be broken. And it goes on to say he will pour upon them the spirit of grace and supplication. God's going to give them what they don't deserve, and they're going to be broken. It's going to be a wonderful day when I mean, and Paul wrote about it in Romans 11, you know, if it's wonderful that the Gentiles have come to Christ, what's it going to be like when the Jews, who are the natural branch, come? It's going to be Hallelujah Day. It's going to be awesome. And we're watching the fulfillment of this as God is bringing them back into the land before our very eyes today. Ezekiel 37 says in verse 14, I will pour my spirit or put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. You remember the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans that he was as though he was one born out of due time? And what he meant by that is he realized that God was going to bless the nation of Israel and someday pour his spirit out on them. And Paul said, you've done that for me now. Of course, he's done that for the entire church. The promise of being born again by the water and the spirit, the cleansing of God and the spirit. When Jesus mentioned it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, had already been written about in Ezekiel chapter 36. I'll put my spirit in you, God said in Ezekiel 36. And that's exactly what he's done with us. It's a blessing. Zechariah 13:1, in that day shall a fountain shall be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. God's going to clean their sin. And then Zechariah 14:9 says, then the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. Another name that the Lord Jesus is going to be called during the tribulation, or during the millennium, excuse me, is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Have you heard that name? The Lord is our righteousness. Because we don't have any of our own. He did it all for us, amen? So, you know, what's the lesson to us? Love the Lord. Obey his voice. Cling to him. And you'll, your life will be blessed. And I mentioned earlier where Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. But that word if, it's a word that literally means since you love me, obey me. It's not a condition. He's saying, because you love me, obey me. It sort of frees us up, huh, from a system of do's and don'ts. And all we need to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Faith is the hand that reaches out to God and his promises. And he's faithful, isn't he? Just, you know, all you've got to do is just stop running. And we all remember that day that we just stopped running, and it was so easy. He took us right then and there. Just that much faith it takes. It's not much. That's the only way any of us are saved. He did it all. Yes. Father, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ and what he's done. And Lord, thank you for these wonderful scriptures, these promises, Lord. These truths that have been borne out through history. Showing us things in advance so that when they come to pass, we'll know that you're God and that you're a God of truth. And Lord, we continue to pray for the nation of Israel, Lord, for the day that their eyes are going to be opened. And Lord, help us to learn from these things, Lord. That when times of blessing come, not to turn away from you, not to forget who you are and what you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, thank you that you're in the business of saving souls. And Lord, thank you for those simple words of yours, choose life. And Lord, we pray for anyone who's here tonight that has not yet made that choice from the heart and confess from their mouth that you're Lord and meant it, Lord. And Lord, we pray for our loved ones and neighbors and co-workers and all that are in that same place, Lord. They haven't yet called upon your name, God. We pray that they would choose life, Lord, as well. In Jesus' name, amen.